Closing comments and sort of summarise the discussion. I decided not to go through each speaker and summarise what they said. I just made a few bullet points as the discussions were developing. And I guess the way I would see it, where we were previously a year or two ago, we were at a little bit of a crossroads, and one road was the sort of EPD, National Cattle Evaluation side of things. And the other side was this stars or scores kind of system, and breeders sort of saw it as one or the other. And they had real problems with some of the ambiguity that Kent had mentioned, where you got a bull that had lots of stars but his EPD was low, or vice versa. There was uncertainty at the time of the Calgary meeting as exactly who was going to compute these MBVs. It wasn't quite clear what the role of the breed association was going to be, or what the role of the DNA testing company was going to be, or what the role of the genomics company was going to be. It wasn't clear whether EPDs were going to be added to molecular breeding values, or molecular breeding values added to EPDs, or whether molecular breeding values would even be made available to everybody. And there was complete uncertainty as to how many progeny test equivalents a genetic test might be worth. And there were some people who thought the circumstances might be like the simulated data, where you can get correlations of 0.8 or 0.9, in which case performance recording might not be required anymore. So that's where we were previously. Some of the things that have changed, the current status as I would see it, is that genomics companies will offer services that include computing an MBV or an MVP or whatever it is that ultimately gets to be decided to be called. And for MBV enhanced traits, using the term that Kent coined, for those traits where there are already EPDs, it's likely that the companies are going to be providing those values to the breed association for use in national cattle evaluations. The other point I just wanted to make in the current status is that none of the current panels include SNPs that were identified by the 50K work. So what you've heard us talk about this morning is yet to be out in the marketplace. Current status, MBVs will increase the accuracy of predicted performance for young tested animals. I don't think there's any doubt about that, at least in the discovery breed. But the extent of accuracy increases are going to vary according to the panel size and according to which particular markers are put on there. And the other thing about the current status is we'll have molecular breeding value enabled traits, so traits in the past that you weren't able to predict because there were no phenotypic measurements, they are going to be available. We have that currently at the research point of view. The other point about current status is some breeds are pretty poorly represented in discovery populations. And breed associations and breeders are going to have to actively construct repositories and make them available to researchers and companies if they want their breeds to be represented. And I think especially Bos Indicus and Indicus Taurus kinds of crosses need to make sure that their animals are included in there. Current status, I think scientific effort needs to be focused on delivering higher density panels for discovery. And to make those high density panels, we need to have more SNPs. So the first exercise will be sequencing more animals and discovering more SNPs in order to put them on the panel. And that is currently happening. The way I would see the current status is the opportunity exists to cost effectively improve the rate of improvement using markers. And that will happen principally from more effective early selection. So if you want to wait until a bull's old and got the opportunity to have lots of progeny, you're wasting most of the advantage. Most of the advantage is having increased accuracy earlier. The value of progress is going to depend on market factors, a point that Mike Goddard just brought up a few minutes ago in the question. Who gets paid for tenderness? Who's going to get paid for fatty acid composition? Who's going to get paid for improving feedlot health? You all should be, but right at the moment there is market failure for all those traits. When somebody buys an animal at weaning age, they don't pay more for it because they have an expectation of it being more tender or being better marbled or surviving better in the feedlot. So there's some communication systems that have to be improved along the market chain. And Mike also pointed out in his talk that vertical integration is one way that that might happen. Marker-assisted management appears to be viable, at least for some feedlots. That's the current status. Future status, some breed associations will incorporate MBVs in their national cattle evaluation. I'd like to think by BIF meeting next year that that we will all have been exposed to national cattle evaluation that includes MBVs in the EPD calculation. It's obviously going to be most urgent for that to be done by the American Angus Association because most of the discovery populations have been in the American Angus population. And I think in the future we can expect ongoing improvement in MBV accuracy. I'd like to see that every year we can push those correlations up by having better markers, by having more animals, and by having better analytical techniques. And I'd expect the scope of those tests to be expanding to other breeds. So I don't know about you, but I think the panel have all enjoyed having these discussions, and I believe it's lunchtime now.
I'll pass it over.